Amen. Thank you for leading us in worship this morning. I invite you this morning to open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. We'll be starting our reading in verse 41. And due to the nature of the sermon series we're in, we're going to be looking at several different texts rather than just being focused on one passage of Scripture as we usually are. We're in our series, this topical series, How To. And we've just been discussing some biblical answers to some very practical questions. We've discussed how to pray, how to study your Bible, how to lead a family worship time, and so forth. And so we're continuing that series this morning. If you are with us on another very practical subject matter for Christians, how many of us at one point in our lives thought, when I get married, I want to be a good husband, I want to be a good wife to my spouse? Or how many of us growing up in our parents' homes thought, I want to be a good son, I want to be a good daughter to my mom and my dad? How many of us thought about how we wanted to do in school, and we thought, I want to be a good student to my teachers in my school. I want to, when I get a job, I want to be a good employee for the company that gives me a job. Or if we play sports, or in the band, we think, I want to be a good player for the team that I'm a part of. I know I've thought all those questions throughout the years that God has given me, and you probably have too, and you've explored what it looks like to be good in those areas, and you've taken steps to become good in those areas. But how many of us as Christians ever stop and we ask this question, how can I be a good church member? Is that a question that Christians are even asking? To be honest with you, it was not a question I ever answered as a little boy who came to faith in Christ and grew up in the church. I didn't ask that question. I've asked that question since I went to seminary and I've gotten a theological education, but that kind of question was never given to me. I wasn't thinking in that framework. And maybe you haven't been thinking along those lines either. But let me tell you, if that's a question that's not on our radar, it's a question that needs to be on our radar. We all, as Christ followers, need to be asking the question, how can I be a good church member? And then what we need to do is understand what the Bible teaches about being a healthy, good church member, and then make sure our life aligns with what the Bible teaches in that area. See, something that I've learned is that being healthy is not being perfect. Being healthy in an area as a church collectively or as individuals is just examining what the Word of God says about something and taking steps to align our lives more and more with what God's Word says about that particular character quality or about that specific issue in life. We're aligning ourselves with the Word of God. So what I want to do this morning and next morning, I'm going to divide this sermon into two parts. And we're going to answer the question, how can I be a good church member? We're going to look at several different marks that we find in the New Testament. It's not going to be exhaustive. We could divide this into several sermons, but we're just going to do two. But I want to highlight some of the major marks, major characteristics, steps that we all can take to become good, healthy church members. And to do this, we're going to have to look at several different passages in the New Testament because these are not just grouped together. So that's the nature of preaching on a topical, doing a topical series. You have to jump around a little bit more than when you're preaching systematically through a book. But this is helpful and it's pastoral. So I want to pray and then we're going to jump into the text and we're going to look at that first mark of what it looks like to begin to be a good church member. Would you please pray with me? Father, this is an important subject matter. God, may every heart be open. May all of us, because we want to take seriously our walk with Jesus, just be open to listening to what the Bible says about those healthy marks, those characteristics that should be a part of the lives of all of those who belong to the local church. God bless this message. Please do not let the enemy, because we know he's a thief, come in this room and steal the word of God from the heart of any man, any woman, any student, any child. And we pray that in the matchless, awesome name of Jesus. Amen. So how can I be a good church member? I'm going to give you several steps, several markers, so to speak, that identify what a good church member looks like from the New Testament's perspective. I'm just going to start by just telling you that first marker. Number one, if you want to be a good church member, join a local church formally. Join a local church formally. This first mark of a good church member, you would think that it would just go without saying. But let me tell you, today, unlike years prior, there is so much misunderstanding about what the Bible actually teaches about church membership. You see, in the New Testament, the Bible actually teaches, but it also implies many times over that every Christ follower, every person who's repented and trusted in Jesus, is to actually be a member of a local organized body that gathers together for worship, the practices of the ordinances, and the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Every Christian is to be a member and not just a visitor. You see, there's a big difference between being a member of a local church and a visitor of a local church. Now, granted, at some point, there are going to be some of us that start out as visitors, and that's good. We just don't want to stay there as a visitor. See, every Christian is to be a member. So what's the difference between being a member and a visitor? There's a difference along these lines. The difference between a member and a visitor is the difference between actually belonging and just attending. It's the difference between actually being committed to a local body and just hanging out with a local church. The biblical expectation is that all Christians will be members. They will belong. They don't just hang out. They don't just, they're not just guests, but they're a formal part of the church. Look in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. This is clearly taught in this verse. Peter has just finished preaching this amazing sermon on the death and resurrection of Jesus to a crowd of thousands. The Holy Spirit has come upon the believers in Jerusalem with power, and Peter's emboldened to preach this amazing message. And upon hearing the gospel, the people in verse 37, they're pierced in their heart and they're crying out, "What must we do?" And Peter tells them what you are to do in response to who Jesus Christ is and your sin is you are to repent and you are to believe in Jesus. And look at what happens in verse 41. "So those who had received his word were baptized." People that day heard the gospel. They did what Peter said. They turned from their sin and they trusted in Christ. And then look what happens after they went public with their faith and they were baptized. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. When these people who heard Peter preach, repented and believed in Jesus and were baptized, they were added. Added to what? What's the context here? They were added to the local church in Jerusalem. They became a formal part of that body of believers. So what does it mean to actually be added to the church, to become a member of the local church? Listen to this definition by Jonathan Freeman or Lehman. Jonathan Lehman says, "Church membership is a formal relationship." So it's got boundaries, it's defined, between a church and a Christian. So it's this formal relationship between a Christian and a church, and it's characterized by the church's affirmation and oversight of a Christian's discipleship and the Christian's submission to living out his or her discipleship in the care of the church. So this is basically what Jonathan Lehman is saying. This is what church membership is. Church membership involves a local church that's constituted as a church saying to an individual Christian, based upon your profession of faith in Jesus, you've told us you've repented and you've placed your faith in Christ, and based on the fact that you've went public and you've been baptized, you're not ashamed of him, you're on the same team as us, we're going to accept you into this body, and we're going to take responsibility for helping you become a faithful follower of Jesus. We're going to hold you accountable to help you mature in Jesus. So that's what the church is saying to that individual Christian. That individual Christian, in turn, is saying, when they want to become a part of the local church, I believe you, based on your profession, to be a Bible-believing congregation. You actually accept the Bible as the Word of God. You believe what it says in its major doctrines. And so based on that, I am going to submit myself to you to come under the leadership of this church, church's leaders, to submit to their authority, and also to allow you to hold me accountable for the way I live my life out in my discipleship. So what is happening in church membership is that there's this relationship that's being established in a formal, actual way between a church and an individual believer. So this relationship comes into place, and both are saying, because we're coming into this formal relationship, we're now going to take accountability one for the other. So we're responsible for each other. On August 25th, 2012, mine and Melody's relationship went to a whole new level. We stood before the congregation at First Baptist Church Woodstock in Woodstock, Georgia, and we were asked if we were willing to make commitments one to another. When I was asked if I would commit to her, man, I had been waiting for this day for over 30 years. You better believe I was eager to make my commitment. And when I was asked, Donald, will you commit in these ways? Man, I said, I do. Then she was asked the same thing. Melody, will you commit to Donald in these various ways? And thank Jesus, my wife said, I do. Made me the happiest man on earth when she was willing to say, I'll commit to you in these promises, and I'm committing to you in these promises, is what I said to her. That day, we entered into a covenant, a formal relationship. Jonathan Lehman says, in a similar way, not the same way, but in a similar way, when an individual Christian wants to become a part of a local church, to become a member, it's similar to that covenant that's established between a husband and wife. Though it's different, it's like the I do part of the ceremony. The individual Christian is saying, I do to the church, and the church is saying to the individual Christian, I do to you. We're going to take responsibility for one another. Listen, a good church member, if you're going to be a good church member, you must be a church member. See, Jesus does not want his followers to just attend the church. Jesus doesn't want his followers to be continual visitors of the church. Jesus doesn't want his followers just to hang out at the church. Jesus doesn't want his followers to just date the church. He wants all of his followers to man up, to woman up, to get serious about their discipleship and say, I do, to the local church, and become a formal part of that body. Now, notice importantly in Acts 2:41, the most important thing is not choosing a local church. Notice what everything's prefaced on. Notice what must come first before you can actually become a church member. It's actually receiving, hearing, believing, receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 41, so then those who had received his word and were baptized
were added that day to the local church. See, the most important decision that precedes joining a local church is making a decision for Jesus Christ. Peter, that day before thousands, he told all of those people that they were sinners, that they were under the judgment of God, that there was a judgment coming one day. That was the understood implications. But he explained to them that Jesus was the Christ, the Savior who came into this world, God's Son who became a man. And the Bible tells us that Jesus became a man so he could live a perfect life as the God-man in our place, and that he would ultimately pay the penalty for our sins. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died on the cross for us. God judged Jesus in our place. And then God, as Peter talks in this wonderful sermon, he raised him from the dead, declaring to everyone that my Son is Lord. He is the one who is the promised Savior to come. He is the one that I've sent into the world to establish my kingdom. And the people said, what must we do? And Peter said, you've got to repent. You got to recognize you're a sinner. You got to be willing to turn from your sin, and you got to be willing to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't know God personally, the most important decision you have before you is not joining a church, but it's actually becoming a part of the body of Jesus Christ by receiving him today. And at the end of this service, we're gonna give you an opportunity to do that. We're gonna extend what we call a response and allow you to say, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus. And let's say, though, you've given your life to Jesus, but you've never gone public with your faith in baptism. Notice what the text says. Before you can be a church member, you must receive Christ, receive his word, and then you must be baptized. And once a person's baptized by that church, they enter in to that church as a church member. You may be here this morning, you've given your life to Christ, but you've not been instructed on the next steps. Well, the next steps for you are to pull one of us aside or come up at the end of the service and say, hey, I need to tell everyone that I'm a Christian. I've repented, trusted in Jesus, and I need to be baptized. And we'll be happy to walk you through that and to help you be obedient to that command that Jesus gives. But maybe you are a believer. You've been baptized, as the New Testament teaches, by immersion in another Bible-believing church, but you've moved to the area, or for some reason you're no longer a part of the church where you were a member, and you've been coming here. Well, the next step God would have you to do, as you've been praying about this, is to say, hey, I've been attending for a while. I know what this church is about. I love the people here. And now I want to become a formal part of this church. That's what the Spirit of God would have us do once we've moved from one location to another to find a new church home, or if we're leaving one church to come to another, God would have us to become a formal part of that church. So if you're going to be a good church member, number one, join a local church formally. Number two, look over in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 5. John 15, verse 5. To be a good church member, join a local church formally. And number two, walk with Jesus daily. If you're going to be a good church member, you need to walk with Jesus daily. Our personal relationship with Jesus Christ impacts more than anything else our corporate relationships in the church. Let me say that again. Our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, more than anything else, that influences, it affects how we relate to the church that we formally belong to. Now look at John 15:5, what Jesus says. Jesus is using this imagery here. He compares himself to a vine and tells us that we are the branches. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, that word abides, it means remains connected to me, one who's dependent on me, one who stays close to me, abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I want everybody to read that with me, that last part, starting with four. One, two, three. For apart from me, you can do nothing. See, the key to being a fruitful, faithful Christian is staying close to Jesus Christ. The key to having this vibrant life in Christ is staying close to Him. We cannot on our own manufacture the qualities and the characteristics of Christ that we are commanded to display to others. We can't produce that in and of ourselves. Jesus says, I'm the vine. I am the source of the Christian life. And for that life to be lived out through you, you have to stay close to me. You have to depend on me. You have to stay connected to me. I must be your priority above all other priorities in life. See, we can't be loving and we can't be forgiving. We can't be others focused. We can't be missions committed. We can't be joy-filled, servant-hearted church members if we're not walking with Jesus daily, staying close to Him. I became a Christian around 12 years of age. I was not discipled in the spiritual disciplines of the faith. My mom and dad were in and out of church. My church did not have a system in place to show you what it looked like once you gave your life to Christ to follow Him and to grow in Him. And so I was pretty much left on my own for several years. And so as a result, that impacted the way that I contributed to the church. That influenced the way I related to other people in the church because I wasn't growing in my walk with Jesus and staying close to Him. I was not that healthy, good church member that I could have started on the path to becoming because I didn't know that to actually be that, I had to have Jesus producing it through me. And for that to happen, I have to be intentional in my relationship with Christ. So how do we walk daily with Jesus? Look in John 15, 7. Jesus says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We stay close to Jesus. We stay clean in our walk with Him by being in His word. We're reading it. We're believing it. And we're obeying it. That's what it means for His word to be in us. The word of God's in our lives. We're in the word daily. And then we're asking Him things in prayer. We're talking to God. So God's talking to us. Remember when we read our Bibles, God talks to us, puts truth in our lives. And when we pray, we're speaking to God. We're having a conversation with Him. And then He has a conversation with us through His word. These two things are essential for every Christian. If we're going to walk with Jesus, to be close to Him and to stay clean and to contribute the way He would have us to in being a good church member. A recent Lifeway study revealed something, though. What percentage of church members would you say, according to a recent Lifeway poll, actually read their Bibles daily? What percentage? The study revealed only 19% of church members read their Bibles daily. So that means 81% of the church is not in the Word, letting God speak to their hearts and to show them His truth. Guys, that impacts our churches all across the country. That's why I felt it on my heart to do this how-to series to teach us how to study the Word of God, a simple way to just be in the Word day in and day out, even if it's only 10 minutes a day, because Jesus says we can do nothing on our own unless we're drawing our life source from Him. How to be a good church member? Join a local church formally. Number two, walk with Jesus daily. Number three, look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll be looking at verses 23 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, 23 through 25. The third step that every Christ follower can take to be on the road to becoming a good, healthy church member is this: attend church weekly. That simple. Just attend church weekly. Let me tell you what I believe to be one of the simplest, easiest steps that we can take to just help our own selves in the Christian life. Something that I believe that's actually easier than praying every day and even reading the Bible is just coming to church once a week. I believe that's the easiest responsibility that we can fulfill as individual church members is just to be intentional to gather together with the rest of the body of Christ to which we belong on that Sunday, and this is when we meet is on Sundays, to worship and to gather together for the hearing of the Word of God. Listen to the admonition in Hebrews 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. When I was a little boy, my mother and father used to catch me doing something. And when they would catch me doing this specific thing, they would call me out and tell me to stop doing it. They would say, Donald, quit biting your fingernails. And then they would follow up with this, and maybe your parents said this to you, that's a bad habit. Quit biting your fingernails. And to this very day, I've not stopped biting my fingernails. That's probably a little too much information, but it's still a bad habit that I wrestle with. The church members that the writer of Hebrews is writing this letter to, they had gotten into a very bad habit. A bad habit that was hurting them and also hurting the church to which they belonged. And that bad habit is that they were neglecting coming together faithfully with the body to which they belonged. They were allowing other things to misdirect their priorities with the local church. And so for whatever reasons, and we could come up with some through, as we read throughout this the book of Hebrews, they were choosing other things over gathering together faithfully on Sundays with the body to which they were accountable. And this was a very bad habit. Look at what happens in these verses when we don't attend church weekly. When we're not faithful, we're not talking about being providentially hindered for coming for some reason because of health or other circumstances. We're just talking about there's other things to choose from, and we choose to do that rather than church. We don't make assembling the priority that Scripture tells us to, because the writer says, do not forsake assembling. Look at what happens in verse 24. He says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. When we don't come to church weekly, we can't fulfill this commandment to the other believers that we have to whom we are in a covenant relationship. When we're not here, we can't think about the ways that I can spur my brother or sister on to do good things for the kingdom. We don't have that chance to speak truth into their life as they are pursuing mission opportunities. We don't have that opportunity to encourage them in love. And Paul, or the writer of Hebrews here, is saying when we come together, we're to be thinking intentionally about how we can speak into someone else's life, come alongside of them to move them in the direction that God would have them to go. He even says in verse 25, not forsaking assembling as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another. Man, we're to be a people who are coming saying, what can I give to my brothers and sisters in Christ today because I am in the house of God? Guys, when I come to church on Sundays, I've already spent time in prayer before the Lord, asking the Lord to show me how I can encourage some of you. I don't have a chance to talk with every one of you, but I want God to use me in some way to speak truth into your life, to have a prayer with you, or something to recognize you in some way to say, hey, I want to help them to become everything that God in Christ wants them to become. But look at what happens. We cannot, not only can we not spur people on to love and good deeds and encourage them, look at what happens in verse 23. We set ourselves up for a real, real danger in life. The writer of Hebrews says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. He's saying that we do not want to become a people who lose sight of the path that God wants us to be on. And we risk that when we start choosing other things other than church on Sundays. We set ourselves up and we set our spouses up, we set our children up in some ways to derail their faith, to get going in a direction that may have some terrible consequences, because the writer of Hebrews is saying we want to stay faithful, we want to persevere in the confession that we've made without wavering. We want to stay on track the way God wants us to stay on track. Everyone that you talk to today that's studying the church in America, they'll tell you that church attendance is on decline. Almost all churches, it's on decline. Church attendance is not up, it's down. And there are a lot of factors that contribute to that. But Tom Rainer has done some research, and do you want to know the number one reason why Tom Rainer says that church attendance is down? There's one primary contributing factor. Quoting Tom Rainer, stated simply, the number one reason for the decline in church attendance is that members attend with less frequency than they did a few years ago. The reason church attendance is down is because Christians in America, they're no longer committed to attending four Sundays out of a month any longer. It's now three, or it's two, or in some cases it's one. Whereas in prior generations, church attendance was valued as that thing we're going to do because the scripture calls us to be faithful in this area. Today, what has happened is that the culture in which we live has got so many pulls in other directions. Faithful church members are just saying, I'm not going to be as faithful as those prior generations. Put simply, the reason church attendance is down across the board in our land is because our commitment as believers has just waned in this area. Listen, weekly church attendance, that's not a matter of legalism. There's nothing in my heart that when I say to be a good church member, make sure you're here every Sunday, or to be a good church member, make sure you read your Bible and pray daily. There's nothing in those exhortations to say, hey, that's legalistic, like you're to do that to earn approval in God's eyes. No, you're already approved because you're a believer in Jesus Christ. My exhortation is, as I'm exhorting you to do that, and I do it for myself because of what God's done for me in Christ. I want to do those things because I have such an amazing Heavenly Father. I have a Savior who loved me so much that He obeyed to the point of death to die on the cross for my sins, to rescue me from hell. And He has so wondrously changed my life. I just want to be that Christian who doesn't waver. And I want you to be those Christians who don't waver. And I know that this is what's best for all of us, is to be those church members who attend church weekly. Listen, don't live on the fringe. Listen, you want to be a radical church member today in our country? Radical church member? You want to be a radical church member? Commit to be in church weekly. Other than something providentially hindering you, you're sick, you can't be here, you're out of town for some reason, you're going to say, I'm going to gather with my local church. So, if we're going to be good church members, we got to join a local church formally, walk with Jesus daily, attend church weekly. And then to wrap things up this morning, there's one last mark I want to talk about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll start reading in verses 12 and go through 13. A fourth mark of a good church member, a step that we can take in our lives to become church members who are healthier and on the path that God would want us to be on. I'll sum up this marker this way: support church leadership wholeheartedly. Support church leadership wholeheartedly. A fourth mark of a good church member relates to the way a church member relates to the church leaders. You see, the Bible tells us that one of God's gifts to the local church is church leaders. He calls some to be pastor teachers. Those individuals are gifted by God to do the preaching and teaching of the word, to keep the church focused on the mission, because if we don't have somebody at the helm to keep us focused on evangelism and discipleship, the church will sway. To keep the church focused on the mission, they're responsible for equipping the saints for the things that God's called us to do in ministries, to help build people up to maturity. They're responsible for modeling a spirit-filled life. You're supposed to be able to look at church leaders and say, that's the way I should live life based upon the way they're living life. And then one other responsibility is they're responsible for the overseeing the affairs of the church, making sure things in the church are in order biblically. And because of their work, because of what they do, because of their gifting to the local church, God tells us that he expects church members to relate in a certain way to the leaders he's put in place in the church. And this can sometimes be awkward, having to talk about these things, because I am the lead pastor here at Lakeland, but I do this faithfully because this is what God's word teaches, and I'm not ashamed of the word of God. So what I'm saying this morning, I hope you hear it through what the text is actually saying. So what does it look like for a church member to support church leadership wholeheartedly? 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, and have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. What does Paul say to the church members at Thessalonica concerning the way they support their church leaders wholeheartedly? First of all, he says there should be appreciation. Verse 12, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. This word appreciate, I learned something new as I was studying this text. It comes from the word to know. And so what Paul is telling these believers in Thessalonica is this: you have a responsibility as church members, as I have when I've been a part of a church with church leaders, to be intentional to get to know your leaders better and better and better and better. This was an insight that came into that God just gave me as I studied the text. The church members have a responsibility to know better and better their own leaders. And as you get to know them better and better, and you pursue that kind of a knowledge, Paul is saying, then you are to honor them because you realize the work that they're doing is important work for the kingdom. You realize the labor they're putting in to make sure that God's gospel is honored. So Paul is saying that there's this responsibility for appreciation. Then he says there's responsibility to esteem them. He says, esteem them very highly in love because of their work. As you consider the work that your church leaders give their mind and their hearts to do, this word esteem, it means just to have this high regard. Not that church leaders are better than those who are church laity, but you're realizing that only some people are called to this work, and they are a gift to the local church. And so we watch the ways we speak, we watch the conversations we have, we watch the thoughts we think towards church leaders. We're to not demean them, but esteem them, to hold them in high regard. And then there's to be affection. Look at what Paul says, that you esteem them very highly in love. Paul said, at the end of the day, you are, in considering who they are and what they're called to do, love your church leaders, those that God has called to preach and teach the word and to keep the church on mission, love them from the heart. My mother-in-law is the kind of church member that every pastor would just die to have a congregation full of. Debbie Hill, I'm telling you, this woman, if there's such a reward for the model church member, my mother-in-law is going to receive that reward. I don't have any doubt about this. She is that kind of church member. When the times that I've learned when people have been around her and they've ever had something negative to say about Pastor Johnny. And yes, even a man who's been in ministry for 40 years and he's led the church to baptize thousands and had such a kingdom impact even in the SBC, people always have, it seems there's always a criticism, there's always something negative. Whenever they've done that around her, boy, she shuts it down. She doesn't run down her leader, she talks up her leaders. She comes to the defense of her leaders. She is not someone who's going to gossip. She's not someone who's going to demean, but she's going to be there to speak positively and build them up. Appreciation, esteem, affection. What does this mean? Let me give you an application point for this. Let me tell you a way that would bless my heart. Over this coming week and the weeks to come, if every one of you will pray about how to be intentional with my staff, if you will think, God, what is a way that I can show Jesse and Morgan and Mitchell and Matt appreciation? That will bless my heart. What is a way that I can show them I value what they're doing here? How can I, in something I say, in something I write, in something I do for them, give them a tangible expression that I love them? Because I'm gonna tell you, that doesn't happen enough in our churches today. And I would love for you to bless the heart of God by saying, I'm going to take this text seriously, and I'm going to think of some way that I can bless our staff members. Will you do that? That would thrill my heart to see these guys coming into the office with smiles on their faces because you have been intentional to bless them with appreciation, esteem, and love. So support church leadership wholeheartedly. That involves esteem, appreciation, and affection. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 as we bring this last point to a close. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, and then we'll look in verse 17. The way church members support church leaders wholeheartedly is not only through esteem and appreciation and affection, but through imitation. 13, verse 7. The writer of Hebrews says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith. The writer of Hebrews says, one of the ways you support church leaders is understand that they are the models for living out the Christian faith. That doesn't mean you have to do everything the way that me, Mitchell, Jesse, or Morgan do it, but it does call, or Matt, it does call us though to say, hey, they're on mission. So what does it look like for me to get on mission? They are faithful in the word. So what does it look like for me to get faithful in the word? They are encouraging others to love and to good deeds. And what does it look like for me to start doing that? To support church leadership is to say, with Paul, 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's our heart's goal as leaders. We're not perfect, but we're trying to model Jesus so that if you do what we're doing, you can faithfully be all that Christ is calling you to be. And then in verse 17, the writer of Hebrews says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. The clear word in this text is that church members are to submit to the leadership that God has put in place and to listen to what church leaders are saying and to obey that in regards to the word of God and the mission that God has given us to accomplish. Having a submissive and obedient heart is for the good of the leader and also the good of the church member. Look, it's for the good of the leader because if a church member is insubordinate and the one that's always causing problems, the one that's always got a criticism, the one that's always trying to tear down than to build up, then notice what the text says. The church leader one day, when he gives an account to God, he's supposed to be able to do it with joy and not with grief. See, church members can make it harder on their leaders than it has to be. And God is saying to be a good church member, make sure you get behind your leaders and follow them as they're trying to push back darkness and reach the lost with the gospel. But it's also for the good of the church member because one day the church leader is going to have to give an account for all those who belong to his church. Me, Jesse, and Matt, Mitchell, as pastors, we're going to stand before God one day. And there's going to be a day of reckoning. And God's going to ask us to give an account for what it was like to shepherd each of you. I don't know how all that plays out. I don't know what all the implications are going to be, but it will affect in some way the rewards that we receive as faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Pastor Johnny used to always tell this story, and he still does, I'm sure. Haven't been with him in several years. When he gets together with other pastors, he shares with them about his journey in ministry and how he ended up at First Baptist Woodstock, where things just took off in his ministry. And there's one church along the way where he tells everyone, he says, I was there for a year and a half, and then God called me on to this next church. And then he'll stop, and he'll say, some of you are thinking, well, that sure wasn't long, a year and a half, to which Johnny always replies, you weren't there. You don't think a year and a half's long? You weren't there at that church. And all the pastors, they know what he means. They get it. They're making the connection because most of them, they're in hard churches. They're struggling in their ministries. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, help your pastors be faithful. Help your pastors succeed. Be that wind in their sails. Help them. Because as Leon Morris tells us, we don't realize how much we hinder the effectiveness of ministries and the mission of the church when church members are not supportive of church leaders. The Bible tells us to take seriously church membership and becoming a good member. When I was growing up as a boy who lived in my mom and dad's house, we were a member of the Truman Country Club. And as a member, my dad paid dues, and we had certain privileges at the country club. We could use its facilities. We had access to the golf course, the driving range, the tennis courts, and we used the golf course all the time, and my brother and I in the summers, man, we made use of dad's dues at the swimming pool. Now, as a little boy, being a member of the country club, that ingrained in me a certain idea about what membership entails. Because my dad paid money, I thought about membership in the sense of rights that I had upon that organization. Things that that organization owed us because we were members. Kind of like that entitlement attitude. And maybe some of you, you've got that same understanding of membership. You're a member of a gym, you're a member of some kind of a civic club or some other kind of organization, and your understanding of membership is rights and privileges. May none of us take that view of membership and carry it over to church membership. Because true church membership is not about the individual Christian proclaiming rights, but it's about the individual Christian understanding responsibilities. It's not this attitude about what I can take. It's not this consumer mentality, but it's this attitude. I belong to the local church of Jesus Christ, to those people for whom Jesus shed his blood, and my attitude as a member is not what I can take, but what I can give. What are my responsibilities to the local church? This morning, it is my heart's desire, when I breathe my last and someone preaches my funeral, I want the pastor who's preaching it to say that Donald Schmidt was a good church member. And I want that to be said for all of us when it comes time for others to gather around and hear a report about our life and how we live for Jesus. Will you take seriously these marks that we find in the New Testament to be a good church member? Will you join the local church formally this morning if you have not brought your membership to our church, but you've been attending? Will you say, hey, I want to be committed to this local body? Will you walk with Jesus daily and say, I know the way I'm living with Jesus Monday through Sunday is impacting the way that I'm contributing to the church when I gather? Will you attend weekly? Will you say, I'm not going to let anything keep me from this admonition Scripture gives me to be faithful to church on Sundays? And will you commit to support church leadership as long as we are faithfully staying in the Word of God and we're seeking to fulfill the mission of God? Will you get behind us and help us accomplish the good work that God has for us here? If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ, now is the time we're going to allow you to respond to the gospel. If you have questions about that, we're here to answer. Would you please stand? Father, will you please work during these moments as we seek you in prayer, as we sing to you from our hearts. God, may it be the cry of every heart, I want to be a good church member. God, I pray this word has been helpful this morning. I pray this word is encouraging to our hearts. Help us to ever be aligning our life with your word so that we can be faithful followers of Christ in regards to church membership. God, draw those who need to come in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please come as the Lord is working in your heart?